Good afternoon, gardeners. Season's greetings. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Alan, who has come back to talk with us about woofing.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Alan. Before we get into woofing, I thought we would do our plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale.
Our plant of the week is the grapevine. Now, it is growing really well this time of year because they're putting out our fruit. And if you have one in your garden, you've got to keep an eye on it because the birds might get it. Okay, so the grapevine does really well in stony soil, I've heard, but it can grow just as good in fertile soil. There's two types of grapes. You can have table grapes and you can have the grapes that you would use for wine, but there's also the ornamental grapevines that you just grow for your leaves. But we're going to be talking about the ones that you eat, so the grapes that you can eat. So, Alan, join in. Do you have grapes in your community garden?
We have grapes in the community garden going over the whole pergola. We've for shade in summer, and it's good in winter. We just prune it very heavily back in autumn, so we've got light in winter. We've got one grapevine shading the grow house a little bit, and some along the fence that's come over from the neighbour, and we can benefit of that. And I have grapes in my own garden.
Yeah, very easy to grow from cuttings too, aren't they?
It is.
Yeah. The grape is very, quite an important plant for those who come from West Auckland because it was one of the kind of pioneering plants after they cut down all the kauri trees for the founding of Henderson. So we had the Corbin's Winery and all that, and all that area used to be grape-growing country, and then orchards as well. But I just have this kind of affinity with grapevines because it's such a familiar plant in my area. But the thing is, grapevines do run into a bit of trouble around the Auckland region because they're quite susceptible to high humidity and they get mildew. So they prefer a sort of cooler climate or drier climate than what we get here in Auckland. So sometimes they need a bit of more care because the leaves get that sort of mildewy sort of white patches on them. So, but they do really well in other parts of the country, like Marlborough and Gisborne. So when you've got your grapes, the important thing is to train it. And you can train it along a wire or on the wall or, as you say, a pergola to get them growing in the right way. What the people say is to grow it in a T-shape. So you have your main stem and then you get two buds coming off like a T. And every year you cut it back right to that sort of those two buds. So it will keep growing like a T, and when the vines come out, you just train them along the wires that you've already set in place so that the grapevine doesn't get too unruly. Is that what you do with your ones, Alan?
I haven't got space for putting up wires just exclusively for grapes. So I've got a few non-edibles in the garden, a camellia hedge. Right next to that I planted a grapevine, and mm-hmm. I've now just put one of the main leaders of that grapevine on a two-story set along the camellia, just nestled in.
Oh,
and so
okay.
Now the camellia is still there. It has quite beautiful flowers in winter, but the grape one is there too, and it's very prolific. The other non-fruiting tree I have in my garden is three flowering cherries that had just been there forever, and we're not cutting them out, but I'm just using those trees as a scaffolding, and it's the most prolific grape that I have. I probably have about 200 bunches of grapes on that plant that grows up and around the flowering cherry. It sits in a bit of a wind channel, so when you said it's subject to powdery mildew, well, I've been very lucky, obviously, because I didn't even know, and I've never seen that problem.
Oh, well, if it's windy, yeah, it will blow all the thing away. So, yeah.
And also shady. I mean, the flowering cherry tree does shade it a bit, so okay, that provides for the cool.
Yeah.
Sort of that day at times.
Oh, so you've got the right spot for it then. When the fruits are coming out, one thing you need to make sure that you do is to net your grapes so that the birds don't go and get it. And I saw that you did a very interesting thing with your grapes.
Yes, it wasn't my idea. It was one of the Tree Crops members had the idea of putting these little organza bags around them to protect them from the birds. Now, the birds are clever. Eventually, they do, especially the wax eyes, they do actually get into them. So now I just double bag them. And I have also bought a few other, a bit more sturdier little bags.
Mm-hmm.
They have a drawstring.
Yes.
And so I just pull them over and close them. I've also made up some own bigger bags with fabric that I just bought at Jeff's Emporium.
Yeah.
It needs to let the sun and the air through, okay, so white.
That's why it's sort of netting or organza.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you say organza?
Organza bags, they're called.
Okay. And so you might find them in the craft shops.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I've got this chicken, and we've got a grapevine growing on the back fence. And I seen her, well, she can't fly, but she'll try and jump up and get
absolutely
them.
And I make sure I've got a, you know, another berry growing along the chicken fence. And I do not net the lower ones because that's fair game for them, and
they
it's healthy.
Have a little bit of
exactly sharing. Yeah, I have not very good experience with netting a whole thing because A, they're too big these days in my garden, but also birds wriggle themselves into nets, and
then they can get stuck and caught.
Exactly. So just bagging the fruit has been, it's more work in some way, but it's less in another.
Yeah. Or maybe, just try and keep your grapevine a bit contained if you're pruning it regularly and keeping it shape, then you won't have a huge job later.
There's another thing that I think is quite important that people start to get their head around. The leaves from the grapevine are edible. They're high in tannins, so if you do preserves, you can actually use some of the leaves, just clean them, and put them on top of the sort of lacto-fermented goodies that you do, like sauerkraut, or at the moment I'm making apple cider vinegar, and the grapes are good to keep the fruit submerged so it doesn't mold.
Okay.
And you can also, of course, eat them, pre-boil them, and make a mixture of rice and raisins and maybe some kale or greens. Stuff it in there, and just dolmas is a very well-known food.
I'm going to have to try that because, I have a lot of leaves, and, I know you could eat them, but not exactly sure how you would cook them, but I'll have to try.
It's easier than you think. We had an American woofer work away recently. Maybe that leads us right into it. And she made that. She had lived a year in Georgia and sort of in Eastern Europe.
Yes.
And she made that dish from us. And, you know, seeing how easy it actually is, it's wonderful. It's going to be on my potluck dishes, finger food list.
Yes. I'll have to come along to that. Please invite me. Okay. So let's talk about woofing. What is woofing for those who don't know?
So WOFING is the abbreviation for the acronym for Willing Workers on Organic Farms. It's a scheme that I believe was invented in New Zealand by a guy, Nelson, who used to be one of the very early tree croppers. I just learned that at the Tree Crops Conference in Nelson this year in March. I myself and my partner Ricky, we subscribe to the Workaway scheme because we are totally, you know, tries to be as organic as possible, but we're not a farm. The Workaway is a similar scheme. It's cheaper for us as hosts, doesn't cost anything for the young mainly young people, also not so young people. They pay just $40 or $50 and get a membership for the whole year worldwide, whereas in the WOFING scheme, they got to pay per country, so it's quite dear.
Right.
And it's also not just focused on organic farms working, you know, so the work that you can expect is more diverse and the young people who come over for minding the children, a little bit like au pair, just different agreement.
So maybe a bit wider focus than just organic farms.
Yes. Yes.
So you use the Workaway scheme with your place?
I have for the last 5 years, and it was one of the most rewarding schemes that we've joined. We've had about 60, mainly young, but yeah, some not so young people over the last 5 years, staying with us from sort of 1 week to 5 weeks, 6 weeks was the longest. And it's just great to have people from all over the world, literally, come into your house bringing their culture, bringing their skills, but also very eager to learn. Many of those people have expressed the desire to one day have a property like we have, lots of food, growing chickens, bees, and so they have the opportunity to observe. There's not always jobs with bees. In winter there isn't, but, you know, someone who's just been here last week, just helped me to make up some boxes and to put some wax foundations in the frames, and that's all part of the parcel. It's not just the cool, oh, let's go to the bees. There's a 90% work around it that hasn't got anything to do with bees.
Okay. So you advertise on the Workaway site, and then people are interested will contact you and say, I'd like to stay. And then if you've got room available, you get in touch, and then and they just work for however they don't work for long, do they? And they get free meals. Is that right?
So the general expectation is that I think it's a 20 to 25 hours per week dedicated work, and they get free food and free accommodation, but you're not having to serve them like dinner every night.
That
is a shared sort of an almost flatting situation. Many of the people, you know, I usually say, what's your favorite dish from your country? Can you cook it? Some email their mum just get help from, you know, wherever home is.
Yes.
And others are, you know, they write already in their profile, love to cook. That's the ones I really prefer
because,
you know, there's so much about sharing.
Yes.
I love German carpenters because, you know, having a house in New Zealand, timber, means there's always something to learn about it and repair. And those German carpenters are probably some of my very favorite skills that I'm lucky to have about once a year. I could use them 5 times a year.
Of course. But, yes, German carpenters. Would you say that you get a lot of people from Germany? I mean, the mixture of cultures that come and stay.
It's completely diverse. Yep. So we've had a lot of South American men, young guys.
Yeah.
Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Mexico. We never had a Peruvian. We have a lot of European men and women.
Yeah.
Quite a few Germans, but not only. French, Polish, Czech.
Any Kiwis?
No. There was one Kiwi woman who once contacted us and wanted to, you know, learn about the permaculture. We apply in our biggish backyard. But in the end, she pulled out. She changed her plans. And we only had one Australian so far.
Oh, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, one. Just recently, well, this sort of autumn.
Mm.
Yep.
It's funny because Australia was the original place where permaculture started. So you'd think there'd be more.
Maybe they know it all.
They already know it all. They don't need to learn. Yeah. What would you say is the busiest time that you would need help? Woofers and work away
all year round.
All year round. Well,
in summer, you know, they are sort of now. They help me a lot. I just had this young American woman, and for a week we just pruned all the trees and mulched them. Here's a special tip: don't buy an expensive mulcher. Buy a really good lawnmower, not an electric one. Unfortunately, it won't be powerful enough.
No.
But a really good lawnmower. And you can mulch anything that's a bit thinner than your normal thumb or index finger.
Yeah.
And you just pile all the prunings up and you just go over them with your lawnmower cautiously. Put your safety goggles on, and I usually wear gumboots because it does flick stuff around. But out of a huge heap that you wouldn't really know how to deal with it.
Yep.
I'll get two catchers full of mulch that I put back into the garden.
Oh,
so
well, that's really
good. It's a typical workaway job.
I've seen those mulchers, those dedicated ones, and they can be quite bulky and huge. And
expensive.
Yeah.
And then most people need a lawnmower anyway.
Yeah.
So
why not use it for two
exactly.
jobs?
Exactly.
Cool. Now, Your property I haven't seen what you have there, what your garden's like, but I imagine there's all veggies and tree crops and herbs and flowers, so a lot to do, right?
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, help is good, especially 5 years ago when we started, I did a total redesign of the back part of the garden, the productive garden, and we had our first workaway, and you sort of think quite fondly of the first 10 because they actually contributed hugely to it.
Yeah.
And so he had to dig up all of our backyard 5 weeks. And in the beginning, he was like, when I said, oh, look at that beautiful soil, he looked at me and he said, Ellen, this is dirt. And, you know, three, 4 weeks into digging lots of soil, preparing for a new tech that I applied, a Hügel bed, he was working there and he turned around to me and he said, Ellen, this is such beautiful soil. And I was like, yep. Good learning, mate. There is such a thing like beautiful soil.
So a lot of the young people these days, they're not familiar with nature. They've probably never wielded a spade and don't know what compost is. So is there an element of teaching
involved? Totally, yeah. Teaching, learning. But also, so for the first 2 days, I sort of work with them. I get to know them. Get to know their skill level, but also what they want to contribute.
Yeah.
I often ask them, what would you like to contribute to our garden or to our, you know, whole property? And they get an inkling after a few days, and then they sort of say, look, I would like to do this. I can do this. Or I don't know how to do this, but I would like to try to do this.
And
I believe in giving people a project. I give them a brief.
Yeah.
What I expect from something, how I needed to function, and I show them the materials we have, and I want to buy as little as possible.
Yes.
We go scavenge for it, which is often fun. And and then they get a project, and usually the outcome, if you let them do, is much better than if you micromanage them.
Yes.
So you just got to have some trust. It has not worked with two or three people, but with the majority, absolutely, I wouldn't do it different.
Yeah, because a lot of the people that sign up actually want to. It's not like PD workers, that kind of...
Well, I think if PD workers would be managed properly and that there would be something for them, they would also... I know a PD working scheme at the old school reserve garden, and they get a huge benefit from what they do, so they like to come there.
And often if there's a feed involved, they'll do it.
Yes. Yes, everybody, not just...
Yeah, even it works with reading books. If you give them pizza, they'll read lots of books. As a librarian speaking, anyway, that's quite a different topic. So, yes, you give them a bit of guidance, instruction, then you kind of leave them to it and let them explore and, yeah.
Yeah, I don't leave them to it. Or I leave them to that project. What we sort of are committed to, and I have that in my description, I'm sort of saying... You know, I volunteer a lot of my time to public community projects, so I expect that they do that in their own time, and I say, you know, look for someone else if you're not keen to come and at least check out the community garden once and give your time there for 3 hours. And you know, go somewhere else if you're not prepared to do that. I don't want someone who's going to go and get 4 hours working in a cafe in the day and 4 hours for me, and then just we're not a Airbnb.
No.
This is about an exchange, so I do expect people actually to, you know, come along with me to a tree crops meeting or to the community garden or to all of the above. But also we offer them when we're invited, I just say to people, look, this week we're three, is that okay?
Yeah.
So it means we have a guest and it's usually okay.
Yeah.
And so that's actually really the key point. Many tourists don't ever encounter a lot of New Zealanders or residents in this country because they're just going down the tourist pathways.
That's right.
So they meet all these Europeans and these Americans and these Asian people, but not really people who live in this country.
Yeah, it's good to experience the Kiwi lifestyle.
Yes,
I'll tell you a bit about my woofing journey because I actually did some woofing in this country.
Wow.
A couple of years ago when I was starting out on with horticulture and trying to get into gardening. And because I live in the suburbs in Henderson and all my family sort of around Auckland, I never had that experience of living out in the country. So I just wanted to kind of, find out about it. So I put my name down for the woofing site and I went and woofed at about maybe 5 different properties around the North Island. So I had to get there myself. I didn't mind driving. And stayed with some lovely Kiwi families who were like, oh, you're the first Kiwi woofer we've had. And, yeah, they were all different people, but very interesting people, got to know them. And different kinds of properties, all growing their own food, and got to share with their lovely homegrown produce and learn so much. I mean, the first one I went to was actually not too far away from me. It was in Bethels. They had a property there. And I learned what you could do with comfrey. I had never seen the plant before, but it's apparently a super plant. So I was helping out with the garden there, and they had put in, one of their projects was to put in a composting toilet. So I didn't help directly with that one, but I saw it go up. So that was something new to me, because I was very green in those days. What else? Help with harvesting, help with watering, weeding. I'm not the muscle-bound German carpenter, but I can still contribute a hand. Picking up cowpats for manuring the garden. So that was something that I had never get to do in the suburbs. And looking after animals as well, so chickens and sheep and stock like calves and, feeding pigs. So, yeah, it was a great experience. I would really recommend it, even just your own country. So, and a lot of people did use woofing, I didn't know about Workaway then, but as a way to have cultural exchange and travel kind of cheaply around the country, but also do something useful and useful and meaningful at the same time, rather than just go on the tourist trail and spend lots and lots of money. So I would, really recommend if you're interested in organic and sustainable lifestyle and growing things and, meeting your fellow Kiwis who live in the country, if you're a city girl like me or city boy. really good. And you get a lot out of it, don't you, Ellen?
I have been mainly on the host side. When we travelled in New Zealand in 1999-2000, we actually did a woofing stint, and that has profoundly shaped our view of New Zealand, believe it or not, staying with a family in Rangiora, and has profoundly contributed to our decision of wanting to try whether New Zealand could offer us even more than Germany. And actually, it in its own way or shape, it does, and it did. And so I recommend you for just going around the country or the North Island and doing that. It's on my list.
Yes.
But I need to find that very reliable workaway person that will come to our house,
yes,
get an understanding for a week how it, how the cookie crumbles, and then I would leave that workaway person with my partner Ricky there. One would be to, make sure she's in full work, so make sure she just has what she needs without having to go shopping and stuff.
Yeah,
and look after the animals and look after the garden, and me
going off
for a few workaway experiences.
Yeah.
I would like to do that around kiwi fruit pruning time, because we grow a kiwi fruit, and it's a huge challenge, and I can look at as many books as I want and YouTube. I just
need a
always
hands-on.
I would like to see how kiwi fruit properly gets pruned, and I would like to do it about 300 times so I don't forget it.
I do tell you, I did go to a property that had lots of kiwi fruit. At that time, they were thinning them out. But then the PSA virus got hold of them. Oh, not while I was there, but there was the threat of that. So what happened with that property was the owner actually pulled them all out. But then he put in avocados. So the next time I went there, because I went back there because I liked it so much and visited, he put in avocados. So I was helping mulch them, and he had, about hundreds of them. So, very interesting experience to be around the kiwi fruit, which I could not grow at home because they had the monopoly of kiwi fruit there in Katikati. That's where it was.
Yeah. I mean, we bought ours in 2006. They were still available. So I bought a male and a female in a nursery in Kerikeri. So there was nothing like that on the horizon then. But I believe you possibly can't even buy them anymore.
Oh. Yes, it's a shame that, because kiwi fruit is a really good fruit to eat, and wish we could grow it.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's woofing. If you want to help out woofing or work away, just go on the website as a host or a volunteer. And, you can just sign up and get started on your journey. So, Ellen, thank you so much for sharing with us all about woofing and work away. And I wish you all the best with your projects.
Thank you very much. And I'm very happy to have found that scheme, because it made a huge difference to what we did with our property. So I can really recommend it.
Happy gardening, everyone.
Happy gardening.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. you can find us on Facebook, on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.